Exodus chapter 27, verse number 1. We've been looking at the tabernacle of old. Today we're going to look at the altar of sacrifice, or the brazen or brass altar, bronze altar. Verse 1 says, "Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar are of one piece, and overlay the altar with bronze. Make all of its utensils of bronze, its pots to remove the ashes, and its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. Make a grating for it, a bronze network, and make a bronze ring at each of the 4 corners of the network. Put it under the ledge of the altar so that it is halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. The poles are to be inserted into the rings so they will be on the 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain." I have never gone hunting. But I have been blessed to be the recipient of some of your hunting. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Mark Jordan, Christy Jordan, I guess Zach Jordan as well, went hunting and got some big old deer. And I said, "Hey, all I want is some jerky." And as I was leaving out, got the call, and I got my jerky, and it was delicious. I don't know how you get from deer to jerky, but it can't be a pleasant process. There is, of course, the shooting or bowing of the deer. I don't know if that's the technical term. What do you call it when you shoot it with a bow? Okay, got shot. I don't know if it got hit with bullets or a bow, okay. There is the slaughter and the processing part. What do you do with all the insides? What is done with all the blood? We have to ask ourselves this question as we consider this text and what this text represents this morning. In the tabernacle system, there was the constant slaughter of animals for sacrifices. Day after day after day after day, priests were slaughtering lambs and goats and cattle and birds. They would burn portions of the carcass on this structure called the brazen altar, or the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice was the first item that you would see when you entered the outer court of the tabernacle. The stench had to be at times unbearable. Or perhaps, like many butchers, they simply got used to the smell and the gore. But let's not undervalue the work of the priest when it came to offering burnt sacrifices. It wasn't just a matter of tossing an animal on the grill and letting it cook till it was fork tender. Throughout the day, there were numerous sacrifices offered to God and on behalf of the priests themselves and on behalf of the people. They offered sacrifices to the Lord for various reasons at various times. The work of the priest in offering sacrifices was in keeping with a long-standing activity practiced by the patriarchs, or the ancestors of the Israelites. Both Abel and Cain offered sacrifices. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 2, the text says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." And Noah, in Genesis chapter 8, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Now, there were basically 3 reasons to offer sacrifices to God. Number 1, there was a sacrifice of dedication, or a consecration. That was a way of declaring one's allegiance to God. Jehovah had a desire for his people to devote themselves to him and him alone. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7, God says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." And church, understand this. Nothing has changed. God, Jehovah, still declares that he wants us to be his people. He still wants us to devote our lives to him. He still wants our entire lives consecrated to him and to him alone. Number two, there was a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. They were called peace offerings. This was a way of expressing worship and thanking God for his activity and fulfilling a vow. In Leviticus chapter 7, starting at verse number 11. The text says, "These are the regulations for the fellowship offering a person may present to the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, and cakes of fine flour well kneaded and mixed with oil. Along with this fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he is to present an offering with cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. The meat of this fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. He must leave none of it till morning. If, however, his offering is the result of a vow or free will offering, the sacrifice shall be eaten on the day he offers it, but anything left over may be eaten on the next day." And church, nothing has changed. God still receives and even desires our worship and our gratitude. Yes, it's probably easy for us to understand when we come here from week to week and we sing these songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving and we offer our prayers to him of thanksgiving, that is indeed what we are doing. We are offering God a sacrifice of praise like the song we sung earlier. Number three, there was a sacrifice for sins. Some have argued that if we were to rank the importance of different sacrifices, that the sin and trespass offerings would be the most important. Humans have a sin problem. That was made clear when in the garden, with no media, with no bad crowd, with no drugs, with nothing to influence Adam and Eve, except for a serpent, they still sinned. We have a sin problem. The burnt offering would have a poignant connection to the sin problems. You see, without blood, there is no forgiveness. The Hebrew writer wrote this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22. "And in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." With the blood of goats and with the blood of sheep, the people of God were offered forgiveness. It was important to make daily offerings, and of course, on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the most holy high day for the Jews, the priests would offer a sacrifice for the sins of the community. Church, nothing has changed. Blood is still required for the forgiveness of sins. But let me remind you, we are looking at the tabernacle as a way of understanding why Christ is better. God still requires blood, but he has not asked Christian disciples to raise pets and then offer them daily as sin sacrifices. Now, I know some of our pets, like my dog Sammy. There's been times I've thought of sacrificing my dog Sammy. but he doesn't require it. And thank you, God, because I'm not going to lie. I don't have the stomach for it. That is why I enjoy going to the grocery store and seeing the beef already butchered. I like the steaks already butchered. I like the chicken already butchered. I don't have to build an altar. You see, now an altar has been provided. God has provided the altar. And God has provided the sacrifice. And Jesus was offered on the cross once and for all. You see, church, we still have a sin problem. And there is still a need for blood. But not my blood, not the blood of goats, but the blood of Jesus. Here is the truth. It's simple, but it never gets old. The Hebrew writer put it this way in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time. Not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Simply put, church, Christ is better. Christ is better. The blood of goats and bulls didn't take away the sins of the people of old. It reminded them of their sins. But Christ is the Lamb of God that his cousin John saw him walking toward him. And he says, look, there is the Lamb of God who will take away all the sins of the world. Church, Christ is better. He was sacrificed at one place and one point, yet his sacrifice is a continual atoning sacrifice. You are not too bad. You are not too dirty. You are not too rotten. You are not too sinful. You are not too broken for Jesus to be your atoning sacrifice. Church, Christ is better. He is better because I don't have to deal with the rotten stench of animal flesh and of blood, old blood. Being washed in the blood of Christ takes away the stench of sin in my life. Church, Christ is better. His fragrant offering to God was for me and for you. Christ had you in mind when he suffered on this altar we call the cross. When he was hanging on the cross and when he was in agony. Yes, he was thinking about those nails and how they pierced his arms and how the blood was running down and how that crown of thorns pierced his head and how it was pain. Yes, he was thinking about that. But I want you to know today that he was also thinking about you. Church, Christ is better. It doesn't mean the sin problem is over. Let's not be dismissive. We still have a sin problem. We still struggle. We still have things hidden. We still sin. But Christ is better because he is atoning, he is available, and he is approachable. So we have hope. Continue to hear this sermon from the Hebrew writers, from the Hebrew writer, chapter 10 and verse number 19. Therefore, in view of all that he's been talking about sacrifice and about Christ being this perfect sacrifice, and in view of all that, he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So many times when we use this illustration or we use this cross, I've had you do it. I've had you write your sins on a card and bring it to the cross. And you know, that's okay, and I think that's a perfect visual, and I think it's a powerful representation of what is actually taking place. I hope that you didn't come to church today and say, I'm going to leave my sins outside, and then I'm going to come in here and worship, and then when I'm going out, I'm going to go ahead and pick them back up. No, I hope you brought it all here. It's okay. It's okay to bring it here. We can come here. But sometimes that the visual of bringing your sins to the cross, it is as if that we stop here. The cross wasn't provided for us to stop here. The cross was provided for us so that we could go even further. The cross makes it possible for us to be face to face with God. Do you see the text where it says Jesus, his body was the veil? The veil, we'll talk about that later on, has been torn. And we can now enter the most holy place. That place that was reserved for the high priest on only one day a year. Because Christ once and for all sacrificed here. He tore the veil, and we can now come face to face with God. Church, I want you to come face to face with God. And I want you to come face to face with him and say, God, do something about my sin problem. Do what I've been trying to do all my life and trying to settle this sin problem or fix this sin problem. No, you fix it. You clean me. You forgive me. You take away this guilt. You take away this shame. You take away this feeling that I'm inadequate, this feeling that I am infinitely broken. Don't stop at the cross. Go deeper and go fuller. Go further. It's why I believe that Paul was able to write one of the most important passages in our scripture in Romans 12, where he says, brothers and sisters, I beg you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's to say, everything that is within you, that's everything that is you, present that, your whole life, to God. It's again a consecration. It's a devotion. Give your entire life to him. Yeah, one of the reasons why God has been overwhelming this week is because he's been leading people in my life that's been doing that very thing. I sat in a men's class one night, and we talked about a situation. And I saw a brother say, we're going to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And they came through for a brother. That was such a powerful representation of what God is doing for us. In a chance meeting, you got to sit down with me and ask me why I'm singing a new song. Because in a chance meeting, quote unquote chance, I met someone who was able to give relief to someone who's been suffering for a long time. because he has given himself fully and wholly to God. You know, after in Romans 10, 23, 24, where it's talking about Christ and what he's done and how he's been a sacrifice, we get those famous words, don't forsake meeting together. Because if you want to get stirred up in love and good works, you're going to miss out if you keep forsaking when you come together. Just see how all this works together. We see Christ in a tabernacle and we see ourselves in a tabernacle. Because if we would sacrifice our lives to God and fully devote our lives to God, we'll turn this world upside down. We'll turn this community upside down. We will, for some people who are seeking relief from living a life of pain and hell, we'll give them a taste of heaven right here. So church, my encouragement to you this morning is to understand what it means for God to have sacrificed his son for you. And in response to that truth, in response to that love, love him enough to sacrifice your lives to him. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for being holy, and thank you for calling us into your holiness. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you that though his body was crushed, beaten, and broken, that his body being broken was a way of saying that the veil is broken. And because he was broken, we can now, with boldness and with confidence, enter the most holy place. So God, we meet you face to face. And we say, God, we have a sin problem. So God, forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us from our sin and show us a new reality without sin. Father, in response to your enduring work that is taking place as we speak right now, God, we are in turn giving you our hearts. We are giving you our all. We are giving our bodies, our souls as living sacrifices. Father, praying that our sacrifice will be a sweet aroma to you as the aroma of the burning meat was a soothing and pleasant aroma to you. God, we pray that our lives would be a pleasant aroma, that we will be the aroma of Christ, and that in coming face to face with you, that the power of your redemption, the power of your salvation will be the reality for those who have wandered far away from you, or that are wandering toward you and need to see you. God, thank you for being a blessing to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this song of dedication, consecration, this sacrifice of praise, prayer of commitment, if there's anything that we can do for you as a church, praying for you, surrounding you, giving you a shoulder to cry on, giving you a similar story of struggle, we want to be that for you. However you want to make that known, as we sing this song, come forward here, sit down, talk with somebody. After we start leaving here, grab somebody, say, I just need to talk to you. I need to pray with you. I need something. You do that. Don't leave here with that desire on your heart. And if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and you want to talk more about what that means and talk more about what it means to just wholly be all in, totally devoted to him, and you've never done that before, we would love to have that conversation with you. And maybe that leads to a discussion of faith, a profession of your faith, and perhaps being buried in baptism. We would love to have those conversations with you. Would you stand with me and follow Justin as he leads us in a song?